I have changed a little bit up this evening, and I'm not going to continue with the Why series. Decided against it as my afternoon was whittled away with some other pastoral activities, and just felt like anyway, felt like through the week that maybe I shouldn't do that and take a look at a word that goes along with our week ahead of us. So that's what I decided. That's what I felt like the Lord would have us to do. And so I took some scattered thoughts and tried to put them down. And here we are for tonight. Revival meeting. I always look forward to revival meeting. Of course, I'm blessed to be able to fellowship with the evangelist a fair amount. And my kids growing up in the parsonage always looked forward to those times of fellowshipping with the evangelist also. And it's just something special about that. There is something about revival meeting that a church needs. Now, when you look at the word revive, and that's what we're talking about is revival. The word revive, you think, well, I'm not dead. I'm alive. So why do I need to be revived? Well, the word revive doesn't just necessarily mean resurrect from the dead, but it also means, especially in the Old Testament context, as you look at the Hebrew word, it means to keep alive. To keep alive, or to give life, or to nourish up, preserve, quicken, recover, repair, restore. I kind of like this little phrase, be whole. Be whole. In other words, some growth, some spiritual growth that's involved with that word revive in the Old Testament. Psalm 85, verse 1 through 7, which I don't really need to read the entirety of it. But verse number 1, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. That right there gives us an understanding that Israel had some problems and some issues, and that God had brought them back from captivity. You drop down to verse number 6, which is probably the most familiar of that particular psalm, where he records for us, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? That thy people may rejoice in thee. What is he saying? That there's a bunch of dead people? No, if you want to talk about dead people, you can go over to Ezekiel chapter 37, where he talks about the valley of dry bones. Now, there is a bunch of dead people that he raises back up. But he's not talking about dead people here. He's talking about people that have come out of captivity, and there is a restoration that is going on, a need to be whole, fulfilled or satisfied in him, that their hearts can rejoice together. I don't know if that speaks to you or not, but it speaks to me. It gives me a little bit of a thought as to what I could need in this revival meeting, a making whole, a restoration, keeping it alive, or even the word quicken. Quicken. Psalm 80 has that word. Instead of using the word revive, the writers chose to use the word quicken in this passage. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. You say, well, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense in our modern English. It's kind of tough to read into that, perhaps, especially when you're not reading it yourself. Let me give it to you from a different standpoint. Then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life, or quicken us, and we will call upon your name. What I get out of that verse is something that I'm sure, whether we want to admit it or not, we all need, and that is a renewed touch of his spirit that will establish us even more so that we don't return back or that we don't go back. You see, the disciples, even in the New Testament, needed a refreshing at different times. They came out of prison. They came out of jail. They came out of that time of stress and struggles that they had experienced in the way of suffering. And what did they do? They went back to prayer, and they experienced a refresh of Pentecost. They had a refresh of that very thing that established them in the beginning of the New Testament church. And I believe that that's what he's saying here, a quickening from heaven that will establish us so that we do not go back. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Restore us. Do you ever find yourself weakened because of all the things that are going on in your life? The pressures, Sunday school teachers, when you get done teaching a class, a lesson in the Sunday school, do you find a little bit of a setback where you, at that moment, need a strengthening? You see, when you give out in ministry, when you give out in service, you are giving out of yourself, and you need to be restored. That's why you find yourself going back to the table for another meal, because your body needs refreshed. Oh God, that you would open up the storehouse of heaven this week and lay out a table for us to be restored in our spiritual strength, revived, quickened afresh and anew. The psalmist in Psalm 138 speaks about some of that very thing of the troubles of life. He said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, though I walk in the midst of trouble. How do you define trouble? I'm going to guess that you define trouble by however you're looking through the lenses that are in front of you, or whatever is in the lens of your life. That is what or how you define trouble. It's different from somebody else because their trouble's different from yours. The psalmist doesn't try to get into everybody's life. He just generalizes by saying, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Let's change that word. Thou wilt quicken me. Let's change that word even a little bit more. Thou keep me alive. You nourish me up. You preserve me. You give me repair. You give me restoration. You help me to be whole even in the midst of these troubles of life. Isaiah 57, the prophet records the words of God, for thus says the high and lofty one. I believe that that's God that he's speaking about. Thus says the high and lofty one, he who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place, but with him also who is of a thoroughly penitent and humble spirit. That's God speaking. He lives in this high and holy place, but he also lives with those who are thoroughly penitent and of a humble spirit. The purpose of that living with his people in that sense is to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the thoroughly penitent person. The penitent person who is bruised with sorrow for sin, a reviving needs to take place. God is aware of the needs of our heart and wants to repair and to restore and to quicken us, prepare a table before us. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. I like something that the Amplified includes in that verse, in that last phrase. In the midst of the years, make yourself known. I think that's just an understood statement as we read it in the King James, but the Amplified specifies it. He points it out that is what is being talked about, that yourself, in the midst of the years, make yourself known. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, let me illustrate it by going back into the Old Testament even further. into the lives of the children of Israel when God said, I'm not going to go up with you anymore, but I'm going to send an angel to lead you. And Moses' response and the people's response was, Lord, if you don't go with us, then don't take us up from here. You see, we need God himself to be made known in our midst. It's God that changes everything. It's Jehovah that changes everything. It's the Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that changes everything in our existence. We don't gather to worship here. We don't come in here for our own selves and for simply to see each other, though that is a good thing to do. We gather in here because we need him, and it's because of him that makes it worthwhile in our lives. Oh, again, God, would you pour out of yourself this week and make yourself known in the midst of the years, in the midst of all of the troubles that are around us, in the midst of the problems that you're experiencing. Oh, God, make yourself known. I mentioned earlier in prayer requests that there's some people that have gone out from us. They've left us, and some of them said they were going to another church, and I don't know if they're going to another church or not. And some of them, I don't believe that they are, but since they've left, the problem here and problem there, and their children have turned, and it's been difficult for them. There's been battles that are faced. Oh, God, help us. Help us to be the healthy hospital that'll help them. Not a museum of people that have it all together, but a hospital that can help them to restore them. Well, they may never come back to us. They may never come back to us, but help us to restore them the best that we can, even from a distance, to let them know that we still care. And it's God that makes the difference in that effort. You see, the whole thing is that we need God to restore us. I need God to strengthen and quicken me. I need a restoration from heaven. I need a re-baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you please, so that I can be effective, more effective in the kingdom of heaven. And I believe that I can say it without stepping back from anyone, that that's the desire or the need, I should say, the need of every single one of us, a refreshing of a baptism of the Holy Spirit and a renewal, a revival within. Oh God, lay out a table before us this week. And shower us with blessing from on high. Showers, raindrops, but an outpouring of his presence. And I believe that it's our responsibility, if we are truly a healthy church, we are a healthy hospital to those that are in need, that our heart will be burdened for those that need the hospital where Jesus is the doctor. God help me. I want us to close out in another time of prayer. I encourage you, those of you that would like to gather around the front, if you want to, the altar, the seats, gathering in right here as best that we can. You're welcome to. Otherwise, you're welcome to stay in your seat and kneel there. But let's just specifically tonight pray for a restoration, a revival, a table spread to restore us, nourish us this week, to make us more of what he wants us to be in this world that we are in for such a time as this. I welcome you to come.